most people, especially people that have achieved even moderate success in their life, whether, and that could be business, that could be relationships, it could be a number of different things, but most people have something to say. They have wisdom and knowledge that can be shared with others, that can help other people.
Hello and welcome to The Daily Helping with Dr. Richard Schuster. Food for the brain, knowledge from the experts, tools to win at life. I'm your host, Dr. Richard. Whoever you are, wherever you're from, and whatever you do, this is the show that is going to help you become the best version of yourself. Each episode, you will hear from some of the most amazing, talented, and successful people on the planet who followed their passions and strive to help others. Join our movement to get 1 million people each day to commit acts of kindness for others. Together, we're going to make the world a better place. Are you ready? Because it's time for your Daily Helping. Thanks for tuning into this episode of the Daily Helping Podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Richard, and our guest today, in a word, is incredible. His name is Kevin Anderson, and he is a national best-selling author, number one New York Times best-selling editor, entrepreneur, and investor. He's the founder and CEO of Kevin Anderson and Associates, a global leader in book writing and publishing navigation. He started six different seven- and eight-figure businesses in the U.S., the U.K., and the EU. There's so many other things I could tell you about Kevin, but I'm going to let him share his brilliance with all of us. Kevin Anderson, welcome to The Daily Helping. It is awesome to have you with us today.
Oh, thank you for that intro, Dr. Richard. I really appreciate it.
I like to set it with energy. You've got a lot to live up to now, right?
So I know. It's intimidating.
but I want to do, I love to do this because you've achieved success at a very high level, but I like to find out people's why. So I want to jump in the Kevin Anderson time machine and figure out with you, what was the thing or the series of events that put you on the path you're on today?
Yeah, you know, it wasn't just one thing. I always just really loved adventure and discovery and just experiencing new things, as well as just figuring things out and solving problems. I never dreamed that I was going to be on an entrepreneurial pathway. That was never the vision from the beginning. But I always did really love just exploration and figuring things out. And it just kind of happened when I was in grad school. I saw an opportunity to, I was tutoring for a company, and they, I found out what they were charging, you know, on the front end, and I knew what they were paying me. And I was thinking, well, you know, I'm sure I could find somewhere in the middle here and market myself. And so that was the first kind of really entrepreneurial venture for me, was just going on as a tutor independently. And as soon as I became too busy to keep up with all the work, or if people were looking for tutoring and I wasn't quite the right expert, then it just made sense to me. I was a grad school at Harvard, which meant I had a ton of friends and colleagues that were really great at what they did. And I was able to just start hiring them, and I would just take a cut off the top. It just kind of made sense. It was never really part of a business plan or anything like that, but that was really the beginning of the whole entrepreneurial pursuits when it came to editing, writing, and most of my businesses are still in those fields.
Did you have an inkling in graduate school, or even, you know, before then, that the world of books and publishing was kind of going to be the world you were going to live in?
No, I had no clue. And I'm not really a book writer either. Like, that's not my skill set. I was more editorial, more of a critic. And my background was more literary theory. When I went into school, when I went into undergrad and grad school, I thought I was going to be a teacher. I really loved teaching but I also, when I was in school, I really started to fall in love with learning. And so I wanted to keep going to grad school, keep learning. And then I also, as you know, the more I got into that, the more I wanted to kind of teach the higher level stuff rather than like high school level stuff. But then pretty soon, you know, I started the company and that took off and that started to grab my attention. And, you know, this is definitely a story like all along the way, a lot of times it's just recognizing opportunities, recognizing shiny objects and going for them and figuring them out and trying to make something of it. Sometimes, you know, by habit, I take on more than I can chew. And my wife and a lot of my team can tell you that, lots of examples of that. But I just really get excited about new opportunities and figuring them out. And, you know, sometimes they fail, sometimes they succeed, but I think just jumping on opportunities and is something that's always been part of my DNA and something that I really enjoy doing.
A common thread in entrepreneurs. They don't always know, you know, what they're going to do, or sometimes they even fall into it, but it's that passion for learning, for doing more, for achieving more. So talk to us about Kevin Anderson and Associates.
So where that company, when we founded that company, it wasn't a part of the plan. It was an opportunity that came by. We were editing material, and we were we were doing resumes. We were doing all kinds of written content. And then a company came to us. It was a hybrid publishing company, and they wanted us to edit their books because they were having a real struggle with copy editing, and they weren't getting a very good service from the copy editors that they were using. And so it was the first time we'd done anything with books. But again, you know, really love solving problems, really love trying to figure things out. And so, you know, we didn't say no to anything. And I just figured as long as it was something that I could see that I could find someone to do it, you know, might as well say yes and then figure it out. And as long as I'm delivering the service, you know, everyone's going to be happy. So we started editing books, and that really took off, and we really enjoyed the whole, it made sense from a business standpoint too, because the books were long form. So you would get, more money per project, which was good for scaling. And they were just more interesting, you know, than a lot of the stuff that we were working on, and they're bigger ticket items. But where the real game changer happened was when they sent us a book that was in such shambles that we couldn't even edit it. And it was, and so I kicked it back to them and said, look, we can't even edit this. And you know, to my discredit, I didn't even think about, hey, why don't we just sell them rewriting this whole thing or ghostwriting? They actually brought it up themselves and said, well, can you just like write us a whole new one? And, you know, and again, I said, well, I just thought about it for a split second. I said, of course you can, you know, let me get back to you on a price. And, you know, meanwhile, I went and called every editor or writer I knew to see what would the cost? Did they have the expertise? Could this be done? And got back to the company with a price, and away we went. And you know, since then we built a whole process around it, and you know, and we got a whole team and whatnot. But that was the very beginning of ghostwriting for us. Now KAA is we do about 500 books a year. It's a mix. A lot of, you know, our bread and butter is definitely ghostwriting, where we're writing books for people that their primary skill set is not writing. But we do a lot of book coaching as well. We do editing. The team that we built, they're all former literary agents or Big Five publishers. Big Five are the big houses like HarperCollins and Random House. They're all former editors from these big publishers or literary agents. And so when someone comes to us, they're getting a really high caliber service. So, you know, for instance, like Brené Brown's editor is one of the editors on our team, and Jen Sincero's editor is one of the editors on our team. And we offer this very kind of white glove, high touch, very customized service to help authors wherever they're at to, if they've written the book, if they have no book, wherever they're at, we put a customized plan together to help them build the book and achieve whatever their publishing goals are. Sometimes their publishing goals are to get $1 million deal with a Big Five publisher. Others, they just want to self-publish a legacy piece to have for their friends and family. Whatever their goal is, we just make sure that we achieve it at the very highest level, and ensure, of course, ultimately that the quality of the book is as good as it can be.
So if somebody's listening to this and they're saying, you know, I've never really thought about writing a book, talk to us about why you need to write a book.
Most people, especially people that have achieved even moderate success in their life, and that could be business, that could be relationships, it could be a number of different things. But most people have something to say. They have wisdom and knowledge that can be shared with others, that can help other people. And you know, that's a big reason for a lot of our clients that write books. And a lot of times they haven't thought of it, and it's other people that are saying to them, hey, you should really write a book, or, you know, that's a really, you have such interesting ideas, you have such interesting things to say. Your experience, your life experience is so inspiring. I would love to, you know, I would definitely buy a book if you ever wrote one. And a lot of our clients are coming to us, you know, on the heels of that. And so it's really, you know, and what a lot of people don't realize too is that you don't have to have all the answers or have big success or become a billionaire or you know, be the perfect husband or wife or whatever it is to warrant writing a book. Because wherever you're on in your journey, in your path, there's someone that's just right behind you, you know, that you could really help, and that you're actually in a better position to help them because you've just experienced it. And you're not at this high level just yet. You're right here, but it makes you the best messenger to help someone that's coming right behind you. Sometimes the people that have achieved great success kind of forget a lot of the little things that they learned all along the way. And so a lot of our clients, they realize once they start digging in that, hey, they actually have a lot of wisdom and valuable knowledge to share that can really help someone out that's just kind of, you know, in the space that they've just kind of gone through. And everyone's experience is different. And so that's another thing is, you know, that's why there's so many books on the same topic, because the experience of each author is unique. And so that one author might be inspiring to a reader that another isn't, even though they're saying fairly similar things, the experience that they have and the angle that they come at makes it valuable to those readers. So there's that. There's the, you know, helping other people. But then there's a lot of our clients too, you know, that the book is more, it's more like a real high-end business card or establishing their authority in the space, letting the world know that they have something to say on the topic, and also the benefits that come with that as a business or a brand. The message of the book will usually still be something, you know, that's helpful to people, whether it's a book on entrepreneurship or divorce law or whatever it is. But sometimes the reason for that book is more credibility and establishing their authority and making sure that when someone's looking at them and debating between choosing their service or their company and another, that, you know, that book is a really high authority piece that shows that they have expertise and that they're giving, they're a thought leader, and that they're giving back to the to the subject matter and providing wisdom and knowledge. So it's for those two reasons, a lot of it is kind of most of our clients come to us because of one of those two reasons for writing a book.
Hey guys, Dr. Richard here. For the past 7 years, I've been privileged to bring you incredible guests who are changing the world and can help you become the best version of yourself. I'm really excited to share with you a new quiz that I created based on my clinical training that will curate for you a custom list of my top episodes and actionable strategies to help you wherever you are on your journey. All you need to do is go to drrichardschuster.com to take it, and it's 100% free. You'll be taking the next step on the journey to unlocking the power of you, and I can't wait to see where you'll go. I'm curious because, yeah, I'm sure people have tried this or do it. If you get a ChatGPT and say, write me a book, right? So how has AI impacted the world of writing? What are the pitfalls of it? Give us kind of how the AI flavor of things has changed this game.
It definitely has changed a lot of things. But there's a limit to what AI can do. So to write a basic generic book on any given topic without any personal experience or real voice to it, AI can chew those books out easily and no problem. They're still pretty problematic. AI, you know, there's a lot of errors and issues with that copy, but certainly for a generic book on said topic, you know, AI can quickly do that and do a fairly good job of it in very limited time. Where AI is really lacking, especially when it comes to, you know, to books. Really last when it comes to a book based on personal experience. Your unique stories, your unique message, your voice. AI can't replicate these things without digging in into you. And what we found too is a lot is that AI is also it's really an echo chamber. It's self-led. So you're not really getting to the tough questions of really what makes your stories unique. And AI is not a great interviewer. A really good journalist can look in and see in your eyes that you're holding something back, and they'll know when to wait to bring that up later when it comes up again. They'll put a little note in there, and to remind them, or whether to pounce on it now and really draw it out. And a good interviewer and a good ghostwriter, they're able to draw out of an author things that they don't even know are there, and the skill is really in finding the story, finding the voice, finding the connections between everything, and coming up with something really original. AI is generative. It's bringing everything that it's developing is coming from somewhere else. So it's really problematic when it comes to developing high caliber original content. And there's also a lot of legal issues too that are still getting worked out. When AI is drawing from uncredited sources or even credited sources and using it as original content, there's some issues there. But just in terms of the quality of the book, I know quite a few actually hybrid publishers that have experimented with using AI to develop full-length manuscripts, and the quality, they've actually abandoned it, and they were fine morally with it, these particular ones, but they've abandoned it because the quality of the manuscripts is just not at a level that's good. And honestly, we weren't sure what was going to happen with our industry with AI, as it kind of is developing. Would it chew up a lot of the business? But for us, we've had our biggest year ever this year, notably bigger than last year, which was notably bigger than the year before. So for us, for people looking for really high-end custom content, a really original book, it's had no impact on us, other than just, we use AI with, as a company, to help our processes and to ensure that we're working efficiently, we'll use it. But when it comes to generating original content, we avoid it completely. I know that for a lot of the lower level ghostwriters, it's been a real struggle because, again, if you just want a generic book on a random topic and you don't care about it being original or that interesting, and you just want it to sit on your shelf and have your name on it, AI can do that very, very easily. It won't be good, but it can achieve that for you really quickly.
We've talked a little bit about ghostwriting. I know you said AI doesn't do a good job of capturing personal experience or your own stories. So talk to us about, if somebody's listening to this, man, I want this. I do want to write a book. Kevin, you've convinced me, but I really want it to sound and feel authentically like me. How does that happen in a ghostwriting world?
Yeah, I mean, that is the whole goal of the ghostwriter, is to capture that voice, right? And a skilled ghostwriter, they're not writing a book. They're not writing another book that the author just put in their name on. The whole point is to get the turns of phrase, the expressions, the tonality, the voice of the author, and to draw out their unique experience. Working in psychology, as I know you do, you a lot of times authors, they don't even realize what all the connections and how their brain is working and what really makes them tick. Sometimes they have to talk that out to even kind of understand what all ties it together. And so the ghostwriter is really the ghostwriter is a skilled pen, a sophisticated pen that is getting all that information out of the author and just putting it into a format that's readable and that captures their voice. A lot of our clients, they have really great stories or really amazing wisdom to share, but they're not a professional writer. And just like you don't do your own taxes and you don't or fix your own car unless you have that skill set, you hire a professional to do what you are not a professional in doing. And so when it's with writing, it's the same thing. It all the ideas, all the, you know, the voice, everything needs to, it all comes from the author. It's still their book. It's just the writer is helping put it into a format that makes them honestly sound like them. Because for a lot of people, it's really hard for them to be themselves and be authentic when they're writing, because it's just not something they're comfortable with. So in the end of the day, the ghostwriter is actually allowing the author to be most authentic, and really getting that themselves on that page in a way that not only is their voice, but something that a reader can understand and come to as well. Because of course, it's a two-way thing. It's not just a book. It needs to be both the author's voice, but also it needs to be something that people can understand. If you're writing in an impenetrable fashion, that's not going to do any service to your readers if they can't understand and come to, they're not going to be able to understand what you're trying to say if you can't write it in a way that's understandable.
I've never heard the concept of impenetrable writing expressed before you, so thank you for that. So, all right, so I'm tracking along here, and everything you're saying makes sense. The question always comes down to, everybody knows they can go on Amazon and publish their own book, and
yeah,
the big fives, they still exist, right? Those publishing houses. So for the solopreneur, the business person who is trying to establish a brand for themselves, is there a direction you might lean in terms of, to try and get it published with one of those big five, or maybe a smaller place, or even just do it on your own and just throw it up on Amazon?
Yeah, it really all depends on your goals. If you've got a big following, if you're part of a big brand, you might have higher benefits if you go through to a traditional publisher. I mean, if you're looking at the New York Times bestseller list or USA Today list, the vast, vast majority of those books are going to be with a traditional publisher. And it's, in fact, it's kind of difficult to get on those lists if you're not with a traditional publisher. It's not impossible, but it's much more difficult.
Why is it more difficult?
It depends on the bestseller list, but like, for instance, like the New York Times, which is a subjective editorial list, they're not just looking at sales. They're also looking at things like who your publisher is, what kind of media have you gotten. They want to know that the book that they're putting on their list is something that they can stand behind and that they feel like it answers more than just sales. And they also trust those sales more sometimes. So for instance, if an author is publishing a self-published book and they get 10,000 different people to buy the book, but it's sold at $2 a book, that's not gonna register on the New York Times list. They're looking at sales through bookstores. They're looking at sales through Amazon as well. They're also looking at the geographic distribution of the sales. So if all your books are selling in Michigan, it's very unlikely that you're going to get on the New York Times bestseller list. They also look at the rhythm of the sales. If you sell 10,000 books, but it's all on 2 days, and then the next 8 days you're selling nothing, they're going to look at that and question it, and very unlikely that you're going to end up on a list. Just in terms of self-publishing versus traditional publishing, the traditional publishers do have those connections, those sales to bookstores. There's a whole lead process that happens to make sure that the books have the best shot at being in a bookstore. It doesn't guarantee that your book will be in a bookstore, but it gives you a much better opportunity to do so. So a lot of these factors are playing in your favor when you're with a traditional publisher, if your goal is to hit the New York Times bestseller list. But that's not everybody's goal. So some authors, their goal is much different. Some authors is, hey, I've got a big conference coming up in November, which is, let's say it's 5 months away. I've got a book written, but I really want to have it published and out for this big event because I know I'm going to sell a whole bunch of copies. And I also just really want it, to be able to kind of show it to the audience while I'm speaking. And for an author like that, it would be a big mistake if that's really the big goal for them, and they want to have that book, at multiple events within the next year. It's a huge mistake to go to traditional publishing, because traditional publishing is going to take a year and a half at least from the time that you get the deal until the book is out. So for that author, it might be better to just do a self-published release. There's a lot of different reasons why you might want to do a hybrid or a self-published versus a non-traditional, versus a traditional publishing track, but. But there's definitely benefits to each, just depending on what your goals are.
What would be the best advice you would give an aspiring author And then I'm going to follow that up by saying, what's the one thing you would advise somebody to not do when they're writing a book?
Yeah. So, in some ways they're two in the same. The biggest mistake that we often see authors make is just not getting professional help early. You know, you don't want to be in a situation where you think you're doing the right thing, you haven't consulted any professionals, you're writing the whole book, and then you wait until it's all done to kind of consult a professional. And I'm not talking about ghostwriting here necessarily. I'm talking about any writing a book at all. You know, and I get where some authors are coming from, where they just, you know, the hardest part is just getting started. So I just want to write it and do it, and that way, you know, I've got the momentum going. However, we've just seen so many times where authors, you know, from that first page, they're just going in a complete wrong direction that doesn't align with their actual publishing goals or expectations at all. And if they just had an hour long conversation with a professional editor or someone that really understands the publishing world, that professional could have directed them in a way that would save them so much time, help them better achieve their publishing goals, and just get them, you know, in the right direction. The other thing that a lot of authors make the mistake of is not getting help is that getting help really helps you to actually finish the project. If you're out on your own, you don't have that accountability, it's a much higher chance that you're going to let yourself get distracted, that it's going to get on the back burner, that you're not going to make the progress, or you're going to lose confidence because you're going to hit a roadblock, or you're going to hit something that you're just not really sure what you should do, and you're going to get defeated, and you're going to put it away for a while, and then the book is going to go nowhere. When you're working with a professional, they can give you that confidence to know that you're going in the right direction, give you the feedback so that you feel good about what you're doing, and knowing that you're writing in the direction that's going to achieve your publishing goals. So I think, you know, having a professional, even early, even just that an initial conversation to just understand which direction you should go in at the very least is really the best advice I can give any author. And then that way, at least they can move forward with confidence that they're going in the right direction.
Sage advice. I might have just shot myself in the foot here because we're at the point where I ask you that one question I ask everybody. What is your biggest helping, Kevin Anderson? The most important piece of advice you'd give somebody? If it's what you just said, awesome. If you've got some other pearls of wisdom here, lay them on us.
Yeah, great. So I would just say that, you know, almost anyone has a book in them. And if you feel like you have something to share, or if a book would be something that would help your business or your personal brand, just have a conversation. I mean, we have these conversations with potential authors all the time. They don't cost a thing. You know, let's just explore it and see if it's something. You might be surprised of how possible it is to get a book written, to get it written quickly, and to have it really capture your voice, whether you're writing it with a coach or whether it's a ghostwriter, or just working with an editor. You know, just be open to that possibility, because it's you know, in some ways, it's a lot easier to become an author. Well, it's easier than it's ever been before to become an author. And it could be a lot easier and more, it could happen a lot more quickly than you might think. But yeah, just be open to the conversation.
Well said. If people want to learn more about you online, Kevin, where should they go?
So our website is kawriting.com. So kawriting, like writing a book.com. And there's a lot of information there about all the services we provide, as well as we do some writing retreats out in Tuscany, where you can kind of do a whole week long writing workshop with just four or five other aspiring writers. But it's led by a literary agent, a best-selling author, and a publishing exec. And they're with you the whole week. Totally gets you out of your zone of comfort and a lot of one-on-one personalized attention. It's and that kind of gets back to my other, you know, the one piece of advice of helping is, take the leap to get started, right? And then that's what the writer's retreats can really do. It's just taking that one big step to just, you know, to get started. And that's usually the hardest part for most authors.
Perfect. Love that. And for those of you in the car, we got you covered. Everything Kevin Anderson will be featured in the show notes at drrichardschuster.com. Well, Kevin, thank you for coming on our show today. It was awesome having you with us.
Of course, my pleasure. Thank you, Dr. Richard.
You bet. And to each and every one of you who took time out of your day thank you as well. If you liked it, if you learned something, if you're going to go start writing your own book, go give us a follow and a 5-star review on your podcast app of choice, because this is what helps other people find the show. But most importantly, go out there today and do something nice for somebody else, even if you don't know who they are, and post in your feeds using the hashtag MyDailyHelping, because the happiest people are those that help others.